Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We're glad to welcome this morning to chapel Reverend Bernard Tench, a local pastor who's been here before and pastors some of the folks here on campus. He's a native Pittsburgh.
To thank our Heavenly Father for this invitation, we don't take them lightly. We recognize that all these invitations that we get in regards to speak on his behalf are arranged by our Heavenly Father. And we're surely grateful to him, our risen and sure coming King, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is coming back. And the presence of his Holy Spirit. Without him, I don't think we can have chapel. We can't have church. We cannot have the things that are a blessing to the Lord without his Spirit. So thank you so much for this invitation. We are neighbors here at Geneva with the Second Baptist Church of Beaver Falls, located right down the street on 24th Street here in this neighboring vicinity. We have many friends here, many associates. I have people who attend our church who are closely connected to the Geneva College. I'm not going to attempt to name names because I've learned down through the years once you try that, you're going to miss somebody. And I don't want to miss anybody because there are a few who I truly do have relationships with, and they have in turn ties with Geneva College. To the president, President Smith, Ken Smith, we certainly want to acknowledge him this morning, and Dean Smith, who I just admire his patience and persistence, playing telephone tag with me, trying to arrange this chapel service. We shall not wear your patience. We're not going to be very long, so we would desire your attention, if you please. I just want to have a word of prayer. I know we've prayed, but I need to pray. Father, we've prayed about this message, but truly, as your servant stands behind this sacred desk, we need your power. Lord, we've studied, but in our studying, we need your infinite wisdom. Lord, we have prepared, but in our preparation, we need the unction of your Spirit. We need a special anointing even right now. To God be the glory for the great things he's done. In the matchless, marvelous, and miraculous name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, God's people on one accord, they said amen and amen. This morning, I would like to speak to you and without a reservation, it'll end up being preaching to you from a topic, a theme. And my theme is, do you care? So it's personal. Do you care? And I'm so grateful that I don't have to reread the whole entire scripture of Matthew's gospel, that sixth chapter, verse 25 through 34. But at the same time, it does have its correlation, and it will help us this morning as we we speak from this topic, do you care? One of the reasons I was led to this topic, do you care, is because as we look at Galatians, Paul's category and his litany of sins in that fifth chapter, the most obvious and common sins of adultery, fornication, lying, envying, and idolatry, and things of that sort, they're very obvious, and they speak to us, and we can't get around them. Christians, as well as non-Christians, they can affect our lives and can be destructive. They can lead us to the road of alienation with God. They have a detrimental effect on our lives if we waddle in these things and we allow these things to take effect in our lives and we don't do anything about them. But then as I was contemplating on what is God would have me to say to you today, there's one sin that's not mentioned. Paul doesn't write about it. It's not very conspicuous. In fact, it's inconspicuous, and it's a sin that comes about comes upon all of us, and it's subtle, and that's the sin of apathy. It's not in those listings. But I stand before you this morning and tell you that it's there. Apathy. We are just an apathetic people. And we're becoming more and more apathetic each generation. Apathy. Oh, I love what you had in your devotional. Do we really care? Do we know how to share? Do we know how to share with people everywhere? Do we really care? I couldn't have a more perfect segue. Do you care? That's the question this morning. That's the one that's being posed from the president's desk all the way down to the last person who's enrolled at Geneva to every community person who God has brought here this morning. Do you care? There's a message in the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he is the Savior of the world, and he can be your Savior if you would let him. The four Gospels, they accurately record the actions and the teachings of our Christ. They help us understand the way of salvation. There is much to think about in the unique material that's in the Gospels. I just need you to think about the Gospels for just a few. Let them unfold before your very eyes and remember the acts and works, deeds of Jesus, especially the parables of Jesus, those little short stories. Listen, Jesus came to teach us how to live and how to find salvation. Now, with all of that, the question is, do you care? Does this even move you? Listen, apathy is a very dangerous, dangerous attitude. It can be a destructive sentiment, if you will, if it is a sentiment at all. Apathy, when we don't care, when we're indifferent, when we are apathetic about everything. Everything's irrelevant to us. And we don't take anything seriously. If it's not something that concerns us, then we don't have any opinion. Everything around us, again, irrelevant. That is dangerous. There's something wrong spiritually, mentally. And eventually it will affect you physically at some point. If you can live a life of apathy, it's not listed in the sins, but I say to you that it is fruit of those sins. Apathy. We need to be concerned and we need to have an attitude that cares more about the things that are around us and the things that are going on with us. I guess I'm really telling my age here this morning. There was a saying when I was coming up, people that don't care don't get anywhere. You got to care. And I speak to you as young people, as you live out this generation, you have to care. I've heard young people or people in general, maybe I shouldn't just put it on young people because young people become older people. They don't care about how they look. I dress the way I want to dress. It's my business. Well, yes, it is, but you still need to care. You should be concerned and look at yourself because that's you. Some people tell me, I don't care what perception people have of me. How can that be? You have to care. You have to care about your relationships with your spouse, your children. That's one of the great tragedies we're having in this generation. Children, young people, married, unmarried, you bring children in the world, and then you don't care. Well, what is this next generation going to do that comes after you? Well, if you didn't care, then they don't care. Caring is important, and the lack of caring, apathy, can be destructive. Listen, it's toxic. It has a trickle-down effect. If the top of this institution or a corporation or a church or a home, if they don't care, don't you know that it just moves on down through the family to the institution? And if he doesn't care, then I don't care. Why should I care if they don't care? It has an effect. It pollutes. It's cancerous. It'll do something to a whole society, a whole family, a whole institution, a whole neighborhood, a whole church, when you say, I don't care. Do you care today? We have to care. Caring is a part of our human responsibility. You cannot live life believing you don't have to care. I know I sound like somebody's father lecturing them this morning. But you know what? I'm not the father that's lecturing you. It's the father that's in the scripture that's lecturing you. He's speaking to your heart today. You have to care. You come to the Geneva College and you come here for one and one thing only. Hopefully, you need to get your education so that you can move forward and succeed in life and society and be productive. But now how are you going to do that if you don't care about your grades? You don't care about what is given to you. You don't care if you got a C or a D. It doesn't matter to you. It should matter. You have to care. Some of you are sitting up in the rafters right now, all the way in the back, saying, come on, man, get this thing over, because for real, I don't care. Some of you come to chapel because you know and I know if it wasn't mandated, you would never come to chapel. But you shouldn't come to chapel because it's mandated for you. If you're a Christian, if you love God, if you love the Lord, if you know what he's done for you, you ought to come because you want to come because you care. You have to care. You have to. That's part of growing up. That's part of your responsibility. Some of the greatest atrocities that mankind has ever known, this nation and throughout the world. Don't you know the greatest sin of all was apathy? You just let certain atrocities go on. You just let certain injustices go on. You just let things go on that you know are not right, but you turn a blind eye and a head towards it. As long as it don't touch me, as long as I'm not affected, as long as I don't have to deal with that, I don't care. But you have to care. That's part of God's mandate. You have to care. Part of his spirit is that we care. Here's the contrast. Here's where your scripture lesson comes in. Reading Matthew's gospel. And if you read that, how can you turn away from that scripture with apathy? when he starts talking about, listen, you who don't, if you're worried about your clothing, you don't have to worry about them. I'll take care of it. If you're hungry, you don't have to worry. If you know me and I know you and we have this relationship, you don't have to worry about being hungry. I take care of you. If I take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how much more will I take care of you? I love you. I care for you. And he has proven it over and over and over again. He has demonstrated his care for us time and time and time again. Most of us selfishly and independently with our own selfish makeup, we only think about the negativity. We only think about what God isn't doing for us. We only think about how he has not done a certain thing for us. And we forget about all of the blessings that he does for us, day in and day out, how he lifts us from our sleeping bedside, how he starts you on your way, sends you to breakfast, gives you a food and substance, gives you a mind to think. He loves you enough to help you see your wrongs and your rights and does things for you that nobody else could ever do. But they're so simplistic to us that we take them for granted. But the fact of the matter is, God is good to you and you ought to care. You ought to care about his goodness and his mercy and his love that he has given to us and shared with us. All you got to do is take a trip back down memory lane and look at the four gospels and look how Jesus came to this earth and what he did while he was on this side. How he cared for people. How he was kind to people. How he took time with people. How he shared with people. And eventually he died for people. No greater love than a man could have than this, that he would even lay down his own life for his friends. To me, that is caring. You can't get a greater care than that which was done by the Son of the living God. I'm leaving you with this today, and I'm asking you to this today for you to just contemplate and take time to think about your own situation in life, where you are in life and position with the Lord Jesus Christ and the God that made you and your relationship with him. If you think about it, it should be an easy transition or an easy a pick for you to see that I need to be more caring. I need to be more responsible. I need to be more on his side and doing the things that he would want me to do because he's been so good to me. You who are students here today, you're going to be leaving this place very shortly. You're not going to be at Geneva forever, I would hope. You're going to move on at some point, and you're going to go on into society. You are the new generation. You are the new generation of the 21st century. And if you don't care, then who will care? If you don't do anything, then who's going to do something? You have the opportunity. It's up to you now to help in your community. It's up to you now to care about your neighborhood. It's up to you to care about the neighbors that live next to you. It's up to you to do something about family matters and relationships and all the things that are important to you. You need to care. You need to care about your relationship with God. How about your relationship with your church family? The reason many of our churches are going down, our churches are not influential, they're not effective as they once were, is because apathy has come in. We don't care if we get up and go to church on Sunday. We don't care if it's a struggling congregation. We don't care if that pastor is praying and begging and trying to do the things of God because we got our own agenda. We don't have time for what he's doing. We don't have time for that church. We only have 10 members. I don't want to go. But listen, you should care. You should care and have a passion, some commitment, some fervor in your heart, in your soul to do something right now. For the Lord, not tomorrow, but today you ought to get on your knees. Today you ought to ask, Jesus, help me, enlighten me, show me what it is that I can do on your behalf so that the gospel can succeed and proceed and you get the glory. I say to you today, I'm asking you a question. Only you have the answer. Do you care?